I like that old school song about us.
Yeah.
Drop it. A new power, 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 power panel. Okay, fine. We switch one person. Okay, Maitha Alhassan joins us again. Great to have you, Maitha.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm going to read you a couple of quick tweets. They're all about First two are about Tim Ryan. I am Sock writes in, which donor freaked him the fuck out and threatened to pull his funding? Jeff Torres writes in, hashtag Dino. I'm thankful he showed his true colors far in advance. And then Annie wrote in about the bots. Why would Russia need to divide the left when centrists are doing that themselves by refusing to support single payer healthcare?
It might be the centrists. We don't know where the bots are coming from for sure.
Yeah, and they call themselves centrists. And I've now talked to a lot of them, and almost everybody in the media is in that camp. Not all, but almost all in the mainstream media. And they genuinely don't get it. They assume that they have a right to rule. And so when they say you shouldn't have division in the party, they mean you should all get out of the race and
don't challenge us.
Don't challenge us. And Bernie Sanders, most popular politician in the country, definitely shouldn't run. Like, there is no logic to it at all. It's the opposite of what they said last time around. But they genuinely don't get it. They're like, what do you mean? Of course we're meant to rule you. When we say unity, you say, okay, I drop out. And whoever you pick as the establishment candidate is the one I bow down to. Why is it so hard for you to understand? So when you say that, hey, if you want unity, everybody should be for single payer healthcare. Mm-hmm. Oh, you radical, you actually want to do progressive things. No. So it's very frustrating, but prepare to get a lot more. I can feel 2018 coming. It's in the wind today, and 2018 is going to be a mess, and it's just an appetizer for 2020.
Yeah, it's like Jeremy Corbyn didn't teach them anything, and their dream is the French model. Like, let's just go centrist and let's go neoliberal all the way, and that's it.
Yeah, but even in the French example, why did they vote for that guy? Because they didn't know him. They're like, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that Macron was not one of the established parties, and so they voted against the establishment. Now he is more centrist, quote unquote, right? But I think that it was again and like another example of I don't want what we have. I will vote against the major parties, Macron wherever he is, whatever, as long as he's not part of the establishment. Corbyn against the establishment, Trump against what they perceived him to be against the establishment, Sanders against the establishment, and yet the establishment, again, not because they can't learn, but because they don't want to learn. I mean, who wants to learn the lesson that they suck and nobody likes them? Of course they're gonna ignore that lesson until the end of time. So we just have to beat them, that's all. That's why the hopes of unity are ridiculous. There's not gonna be unity, there's gonna be war, and we're gonna win that war. Okay, let's go forward.
All right. While the US sits at the edge of its seat waiting to see whether or not Donald Trump will discontinue the DACA program, which of course allows for undocumented people who came to this country extremely young to stay in the country and obtain workers' visas, there are executives at Silicon Valley who are calling for Trump to not end the program because they know that it would have a negative impact on their businesses and also the US economy. Now, Mark Zuckerberg has been extremely vocal in supporting DACA, and he got together with other executives in Silicon Valley in order to put forward a letter letting the White House know how these executives feel. So Silicon Valley executives coordinated by Mark Zuckerberg's immigration reform group, Forward.us, have published an open letter in support of DACA. The letter is signed by hundreds of tech CEOs, including leaders at Google, Amazon, Amazon, Lyft, Twitter, Snap, and Facebook. Just to give you a little taste of what that letter says, "Dreamers are vital to the future of our companies and our economy. With them, we grow and create jobs. They are part of why we will continue to have a global competitive advantage." And to give you some specific examples, Microsoft shared in a blog that 27 employees are beneficiaries of DACA. More than 97% of Dreamers are in school or in the workforce. 5% started their own businesses. 65% have purchased a vehicle, and 16% have purchased their first home. At least 72% of the top 25 Fortune 500 companies count DACA recipients among their employees.
Yeah. So this is exactly what Steve Bannon can't stand. In a now famous interview he did with Donald Trump, of all people, during their primaries, on a show that he had on Sirius XM, he said, "You know, shouldn't we get rid of these immigrants?" I'm paraphrasing here. Happy to have you look up the exact quote, because it's even worse when you almost can't believe he's saying it. "Shouldn't we not have these immigrants in Silicon Valley?" And Trump, to his credit, which I don't do often, said, "No, they're successful. That's fine, right?" Mm-hmm. And Steve Bannon said, "No. There's too many Indians and Asians CEOs in Silicon Valley." He said something like, "It's 2/3 of the CEOs," which is of course not remotely true. But he said they don't share our culture.
Right.
What does that mean? That means I'm racist and I hate Asians and Indians because I view them as superior to me. They keep getting the jobs I wanted. And since I'm a loser, I'm going to take it out by being racist against them.
Right. And the context of that conversation was in regard to the H-1B visas. So those are Silicon Valley companies that bring in skilled tech workers from other countries to come and work at their companies. And so they don't come in here illegally. They apply for these visas. They get those visas and they work. So Bannon doesn't even want that. And in the case of DACA and these, you know, Dreamers, they were brought into the country when they were extremely young. They built their entire lives here in the US. It's the only country they've ever known. And they're highly vetted and they contribute quite a bit to society, which is why the Obama administration decided to, you know, create this DACA program to give them workers visas and hopefully push for comprehensive immigration reform. But we elected Trump and that's unlikely to happen.
Yeah, I was gonna say, agreeing with your point, this is clearly not anything about economic imperative or incentive. It is very clearly a white supremacist agenda, because it doesn't help companies, as I said, have a global economic sort of edge. And even if we're thinking about the rebuilding that's gonna need to happen after Hurricane Harvey, blue collar unskilled workers, mostly coming from an undocumented population, are gonna be in deep need, because most of the folks who wanna work in Silicon Valley and can't compete with Indian or East Asian or other South Asian populations, they don't wanna take the other jobs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this clearly is either about like hardcore white supremacist racism, and or maybe Trump's like very narrow plutocracy. If he's gonna try to find a way to just, you know, look out for him and his people. But again, this doesn't fall into line with any kind of economic liberalism sort of argument at all.
Yeah, because they couch a lot of their arguments in terms of, we're gonna help the regular Americans, right? So one of them is, we'll create jobs. Well, and then normally, because they take a lot of donor money, they'll turn around and say the only way to create jobs is just do whatever corporations want. In this case, the corporations say, look, we can create more jobs if we have these people in the country. They go, no, in this one instance, screw the corporations, because I've got to appease my base. If you were wondering why I'm talking about Steve Bannon now that he's out of the White House, well, this is the same strategy. Just because Bannon's out of the White House doesn't mean that Trump is not doing the same exact strategy that he did before, appeal to my base. Pretend that their real problem is the Mexican immigrant who just crossed the border. Do you think, you know, or these kids who were brought in from long time ago, mm-hmm. They didn't make a choice as an adult to come here, but they've been living here the whole time. Do you think, like, so what they're trying to do is get you to be fearful of them because they're gonna take your job, and to begin to hate them because and resent them, right? And that's why Steve Bannon in that interview talked about, like, oh, they're getting these CEO jobs and they shouldn't have them. Like, he's seething with resentment. But really, you're a Trump voter out there. You were this close to becoming CEO of Microsoft until the immigrant took your job, right?
Yeah.
It's preposterous. And you'd be 1,000 times better off actually, instead of fighting against the windmills, doing many different, first of all, voting for an increase in the minimum wage, which actually could affect your wages, and get representatives in there. Vote for infrastructure projects that could get you a job. So vote in the right direction in that sense, right? And then honestly, work hard. And so you don't have to worry about anybody else below you if you're working your ass off. And you might say, oh, well, that sounds like a right wing position. Great. Then if you're a right winger, listen to that, okay? Work hard, get a job, and move on up. And don't worry about, oh, that guy crossed the border a second ago, or that kid was brought in when he was 3 years old. He's going to be my competition. If you're awesome, you don't have to worry about the competition. Right. You don't see me worrying about any other online hosts.
Well, I just want to add another point too, which is that they're caping for late stage capitalism by distracting folks on these populations that allegedly are threatening their job security or access to jobs. But in reality, we are such a wealthy nation. We don't have to have even a percentage of unemployment. But because of the structure of how capitalism is set up, then folks are always left at the margins. And so they're fighting with who is at the margins. And so again, if we can dream a socialist dream, then we don't even have to have this discussion and make up these false scapegoats.
Yeah, the false scapegoats, I mean, that is, you know, Republican 101, not just Republican 101, that is establishment 101.
Yeah.
Don't focus on what the system is doing to oppress you, focus on the powerless, focus on fighting one another. Let's distract you in any way possible. In the meantime, I mean, there was a story about how Domino's has partnered up with Ford Motors in order to start delivering cars, delivering pizzas with driverless cars, okay? Mm-hmm. So look, those are jobs that will now be automated. That is another part of what's happening in our economy, and we never have any discussions about that. We don't talk about, you know, finding ways to mitigate that. But hey, let's go ahead and focus on the least powerful people, the most powerless people, and let's screw them over by any means possible. It's just, it's really sad. And keep in mind, these are people who didn't have the same government assistance that American citizens have access to. So they've had to overcome many more obstacles just to be productive members of society. And we're gonna go ahead and punish them potentially because of this administration. It's just sad. Anyway, all right, let's move on to some other news. A police officer in Utah, Salt Lake City to be specific, decided to arrest a nurse for not complying for a blood draw request, even when that request was not lawful. Now, nurse Alex Wubbles was arrested after refusing to give the police officer here with the last name Payne vitals of blood that he needed for an investigation because she said he did not have a warrant or meet any of the mandatory criteria needed for taking blood. Now, let me set this story up for you. Apparently, there was a very serious car crash. The person who caused that car crash died as a result. The individual who did not die and was hit by the other individual had severe burns and was unconscious. Now, that person was not a suspect. That person had not been arrested. There was no warrant that would allow for that cop to draw that individual's blood. And so the cop shows up to this hospital and literally pulls the nurse away from something else that she was doing and demands that she draw his blood. And she says, but that's against the law. You don't have a warrant. And also he's unconscious, meaning that he can't consent to this. All right, so.
Yeah, let me jump in for a second, Anna. Mm-hmm. So just to give you further context, the guy who was the bad guy in this case, who was driving recklessly, he was running from the cops. So, but he died. He's not related to the hospital story. The cop comes in, he wants to take blood from the innocent victim here. And I probably, to be fair to the cop, he thinks, well, look, my boss told me to take his blood. It's not like they're going after him at all, right? And they just want to finish up the scene here and finish up their investigation. Now, that doesn't mean that you can go beyond the law. You can't. And so that's gonna be the heart of this story. But part of the reason that these laws exist in the first place is you don't know what anything about the victim, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe he smoked pot 4 days ago. I'm just making stuff up, right? This he didn't, right? And then they draw his blood and then assign some portion of the blame to him. Oh my God, you totally screwed him over. And he didn't consent to that and you don't have a warrant for that. I'm just drawing up one scenario in which case he would have lost his rights or been in worse shape because you didn't follow the law. So the nurse is standing up for her patient and standing up for the law when the cop gets frustrated and it's like, what do you mean? Law, I am the law, I'm a cop. And that's not how it works. Cops enforce the law, they don't make the law. They're supposed to follow it, not break it.
So we do have a video showing what occurred. There are two portions that I think are the most relevant. Salt Lake Police Detective Jeff Payne is the cop who demanded the blood from the nurse, Alex Wubbles. Now, here is the first part where Alex Wubbles explains to him why it is that she is unable to do this blood draw. Her superior is actually on the phone supporting her decision not to do so. Take a look.
I have this, it says obtaining blood samples for police enforcement from patients suspected to be under the influence, okay? This was something that you guys agreed to with this hospital. The three things that allow us to do that are if you have an electronic warrant, patient consent, or patient under arrest, and neither of those things, the patient can't consent. He told me repeatedly that he doesn't have a warrant and the patient is not under arrest. So I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to do. That's all.
So she's just calmly explaining to him, hey, this is standard operating procedure. We're following the law. This is actually a law that your police department agreed to over a year ago. And he doesn't take that for an answer. This is where things start to escalate. Take a look at the next video.
Okay. Oh, please.
No, we're done.
Sir, you're
hey.
We're done,
sir. I had a
Payne.
Stop! You're assaulting me! Stop! I've done nothing wrong!
I have administered.
I'll hold your phone.
I've done nothing wrong! Leave my phone!
Hey.
This is crazy.
She spent 20 minutes in the police car, okay? Wubbles was later released with no charges ever filed against her. She didn't do anything wrong. She literally followed the law. The only person who did anything unlawful there was that police detective, who, by the way, is still working, has not been suspended, is not on leave pending an investigation. He is still an active duty cop. The only thing that's changed is, oh, well, maybe we won't have him do the blood draw work anymore. No, he should be fired. He broke the law. If you are a cop who is supposed to enforce the law and you don't know what the law is, then you shouldn't be a cop, you should be fired.
Oh my God, that video was so harrowing to watch. I didn't see it beforehand and I almost welled up in tears because it just went from 0 to 100, accelerated so quickly. And this might sound hyperbolic, but two words, police state. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of unmitigated sort of access to arresting somebody, again, how thoroughly did she go over the legal rights of the patient and the requirement of a warrant and consent? And the officer responds, the officer or detective Payne responds with, it's implicit consent. Like, this is, it's ludicrous.
There's no implicit consent. There's no implicit consent for a guy who's unconscious. It's not a thing that exists. So, or implied consent, as they put it.
Okay. Oh, implied, yes.
Yes. Sorry. Look, in some ways I look at this and I think it's funny and a good thing overall that middle class America has not experienced this before. Minorities in poor neighborhoods experience this all the time. Mm-hmm. So they'd be like, a cop arrested you when he had no right to? It's called Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So, okay. But when you feel it and you see it, and that includes us, you're shaken by it. You're like, wow, they can just do that to a nurse in the middle of the country? That's crazy, right? Because there's a little bit of implicit, well, we know she's a good guy, right? We know she didn't do anything wrong. Okay, but that's exactly what we warned you about, guys. It's not too strong to say that it's a police state. In the old days, and I think I'm old enough to remember the old days, like cops, you know, in emergency situations would say things like freeze, you're under arrest, hold, you know, they put your hands up before they shot you, right? In this case, there's no shooting. But before they arrested, it was kind of a big deal to arrest someone,
right?
And they had to make sure that they were following the law. And I know that there was a lot of stuff in the bad old days too. And maybe we just didn't see that. And I include myself. I lived in a nice suburb, so I didn't see that. And I'm sure that was still going on in Newark and Camden, because I'm from New Jersey, at that time as well, right? But now, because there's never been any consequences for so long for police, he thinks law, schmo, whatever.
That's right. That's right.
You know. Look. And I'm so emboldened by some faction of this country, the one that's in charge, saying, no, you should always listen to the cop. Now, okay, look, there's a reason why you should listen to cops, because otherwise things can get chaotic. But a cop's word is not the law. Like, that's the misunderstanding.
The law is the law.
The law is the law, and he has to apply the law. And if he's not applying the law, he's wrong. Now, again, people in this country, some minorities in this country, have been dealing with that all the time. Good luck. If you're in Compton, go tell a cop that he's not following the law. See how it turns out for you. You're going to get arrested so quick. Yeah. Okay. So, but now it's everywhere because we just said to the cops, there are no rules anymore. Do whatever you want. And when you're not going to get fired, you're not going to get prosecuted. So you shouldn't be surprised when stuff like this happens.
I mean, I'm very curious to see what type of excuses people make for the cop in this case, or whether or not there will be excuses made for the cop in this case. Again, he did not know I don't even believe that he didn't know the law, because there were other cops there that were trying to stop him. If you rewatch the video, the other police officer was like, pain, like, basically trying to convince him as calmly as possible to not arrest her, because that's an unlawful arrest. But also think about the fact that that hospital and that specific nurse would have to face legal ramifications if they did comply, because it was against the law to draw that victim's blood, right? And so that victim could have easily sued if they had complied with that cop. Okay, so that cop is putting that hospital in a legal bind. And again, it's an unlawful arrest. The fact that he hasn't been fired for this is ridiculous. The police chief is like, yeah, the video is disturbing. He definitely needs some training.
No, but look, it's the part of the reason he's not fired is because the police chief is the one that kept insisting, just take the blood. It appears that the police chief is the one that's the main issue at hand here. Payne is like, well, look, I gotta follow my orders. His orders are more important to him than the law, because his orders dictate whether he's gonna be fired or not. The law, unfortunately, in this police state, does not dictate whether you're fired or not. You don't have to follow the law to keep your job as a cop. You just have to follow orders to keep your job as a cop. And so that's part of the problem here. Look, I think the other cops are in a tough situation. Now, there's a lot of criticism on the University of Utah police officers that did not intervene. But intervening against another cop, I don't know. I want you to do that. I want you to be a great cop, and I want you to stop something illegal from happening. But now we got dicey situations. We've got two cops with guns who are now in a conflict. Oh, it's a mess. And that's what happens when you have lawlessness.
Yeah, and you can imagine too, I mean, this is, of course, again, this is probably a shock to people seeing a white middle class woman who is employed as a nurse have this happen. But it's also a woman, so to see her roughed up and harassed and, you know, very violently sort of threatened to be arrested. I've had a similar experience, not in terms of the physical violence, but I was pulled over for allegedly holding my phone in my hand, right? And they pulled me off the freeway. They called three more cop cars.
Wow.
And I was in almost an alley space. So I'm a woman by myself, and this is the response.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would interpret to be a police state, the fear of me having just a phone and calling in reinforcement. That's the same kind of unprecedented, disproportionate reaction to trying to follow orders that are against the law.
I mean, I had a similar situation a couple of years ago that I talked about on the show, where, you know, during lunchtime, me and a couple colleagues went out to lunch. I'm driving. I made an illegal U-turn. Cop caught me, as soon as he pulled me over, I admitted guilt, right? I was like, I know. He's like, do you know what you just did? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. And he told me to step out of the car, which was strange to me because I was complying, gave him my license, my registration, didn't do anything wrong other than the U-turn, which I admitted to. Pulls me out and, you know, starts asking me all sorts of strange questions. He's super close, very much in my personal space. And I just asked him, like, please just give me the ticket. I admit that I did something wrong. And then he started arguing that I was holding my phone. My purse was in the back seat. My colleagues were there. They saw my purse in the back seat. And I just started crying. I was freaking out. And when he asked me about my job and I told him what I do for work, he immediately stopped and let me go. I didn't even get a ticket for the U-turn.
Wow.
You know, so that goes to the heart of what we talk about. Do you have power or don't you have power? Yeah. That's unfortunately determines whether they're going to follow the law or they're not going to, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we're all powerless, right? So now Anna has, by saying that she works in the media, had some degree of power. They're like, woo, back away, right? But so it used to be just folks that were poor, whether it's the inner city or you're in a holler in Kentucky or whatever, they just steamroll you, right? Now it's the middle class, because there are no rules left. And so, and I don't want you to mistake what I said about Payne earlier, like that he was following orders. That's not an excuse. And Payne's apparently a pretty bad guy, because in another part of the video, he talks to another guy about how he's a part-time ambulance driver as well. And he says about the hospital, I'll bring him all the transients and take the good patients elsewhere. In other words, I'll punish them for this in another illegal brazen act for daring to disagree with me. And this is a phenomenon we've been talking about on the show for a long time. What has become the worst transgression in America, the biggest crime in America, is disrespecting a police officer. That is not an actual crime, but the cops have been taught and trained that it's the biggest crime. And if anyone ever doesn't follow your orders, whether they're right, wrong, legal, illegal, it doesn't matter. Rough them up, arrest them, put them away, unless they've got power.
Yeah. We have to take a break. Let's do that. And when we come back, the story that Cenk has promised, Instagram verifications, people are buying them.
Turks, a couple of quick tweets for you guys. Chris Allen says, cops being cops. That's it. Joey Bang says, did you see all those good cops who stood up to him? I didn't either. And Bill Wetzel says, not very familiar with Matha's work, but I will be now. Very good to listen to.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
Matha, by the way, is a TED resident, and she's also getting her doctorate degree at USC, but unlike John, we'll probably finish it.
Come on.
I did finish, actually. This is the big update.
Oh, okay.
I did. Nice. I got approved. Yay. I'm done. Yay. I just have to upload it. I know. It was quite a journey. I'm a doctor.
Are you a doctor now?
Yeah,
okay.
You can add that in the little.
That's awesome.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Do I have it here? Let me see if I. It's a nice Middle Eastern twist to that dance. Okay, I'm between a doctor and a professor. All right, go ahead, professor.
All right. Because we now live in a weird world where our social media influence is almost more important than our education, people are buying Instagram verification. Now, this isn't something that you can do through Instagram. In fact, Instagram itself has a very strict policy against this. And if they find any of their employees playing a role in these bribes, they will go ahead and fire those individuals. However, there are usually middlemen who don't work at Instagram, and then easily bribable Instagram employees. And what they do is try to buy this verification or help individuals buy the verification if they're trying to have more of an influence on social media. So the fee is anywhere from a bottle of wine to $15,000, and that's according to a dozen sources who have sold verification, bought verification for someone else, or directly know someone who has done one or the other. Now, it's a status symbol. The blue emblem can help people gain legitimacy in the business of influencer marketing and bestow some credibility within Instagram's community of 700 million monthly active users. Now, James, who is someone who does this as a side job for a living, and he did decide to go by his real first name when Mashable interviewed him, says, it all comes down to money and who you know. It's sad, but it's kind of how life is, you know?
No, that's true.
He also says James would find people who would pay for verification, and his friend on the inside of Instagram would make it happen. He says, I've sold verifications anywhere from $1,500 to $7,000.
So it looks like that in his case, at least, his guy inside Instagram gets to $1,200 for making it happen. And that's not guaranteed. I'll get to that in a second. And then he adds a little bit of money on top, or maybe a lot of money on top. So the two things that drive the price are how much you want it. So they kind of judge like, does this guy need it for business interests? How desperate is he to get it? So if you're trying to get an Instagram verification you don't deserve, be cool. Okay, to lower the price. And how easy or hard it is. So if you're a person that might be verified anyway, well, then they're gonna charge you less. But this, if you're like random crazy Joe Schmo dentist, but you're trying to impress your friends in Tuscaloosa, well, that's gonna cost you more. So random dentist in Alabama. But anyway, so that's part of what's driving this. But it's a great story about where we are in America. Because God, we just need that fame, even if it's just a little blue check.
For some people, it's about fame, but the reality is people have built businesses around Instagram. Yeah. Advertisers will cough up significant amounts of money if someone is considered an influencer with a large following who is verified, and they'll go ahead and pay them per post, per post, and also per product that they peddle out there. And I don't know what to say about it. It's devastating. It's devastating because nothing matters anymore.
Anna, after having done the show for 10 years, is distraught to find out that the world is full of fakes and posers, right?
No,
she's the Holden Caulfield of the Young Turks.
No, I know that exists. I'm more distraught because all the things that I thought mattered and gave people legitimacy don't matter at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, they will work against you. Right, so if you're dumb and say terrible things about certain groups of people, like Tommy Lauren does, you'll get a TV network job, right?
Or you'll get the presidency.
Or you'll get the presidency. If you're an educated person who wants to be fair and make rational statements, no one cares about you, and you'll be shunned. Like, you're boring, go away.
Yeah. If you want to buy yourself towards verification, no problem.
Right.
So Instagram is trying to root it out. And by the way, they do go through a process. They can't guarantee it to you. So the guy who's on the inside writes up an application and then has to submit it. So his bosses could be like, wait, why are we giving this dentist verification for what? Right? So it does get rejected from time to time. So Anna's probably right. It's mainly people in the industry who are just trying to get that extra boost by getting the verification.
Yeah, I'm gonna go a little academic on y'all for a second, and I don't mean to just like bash on capitalism all day, but John Stuart Mill, he was a philosopher who very much was in favor of capitalism, but it wasn't called capitalism back then. But he was talking about some of the consequences of a system like this. And one thing he said, which was really interesting, is that in a system of commerce, that he called it, you will have and inspire charlatans. So the idea that that you were gonna have people who are gonna fake it just to make it is inspired by this sort of model and system. So I don't see this any different from like a designer handbag or a designer car. You'll have people who make fakes out there,
yeah,
right? And I know it's really sad that we're doing this for $15,000, but it's still kind of part of, it's transferred into another realm.
That's a good point, yeah.
So buyer beware on a lot of fronts, including if you see that check, it doesn't mean that they're any God's gift to humanity. They might have just bought it. All right, guys, much love. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.